Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our consciousness and the awakening of our spirit, who we are becoming as tuned in, open vehicles of more, let's call it, divine energy. And that's why I'm talking today to an intuitive, Randy Mirzan. Randy, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Alan. I'm so happy to be talking with you today.
Yes. No, Randy is, I have to just say about you, you're very talented, and you are, you showed me in my session just how easy, like, you go to a space where you feel the other person. I was feeling you feeling me, and right? Do you get that? And then you are able to access information about somebody. What exactly is happening when you're doing what you're doing? How do you describe your work as intuitive and working with people to help them see a better, clearer picture for themselves?
Well, it was interesting that you used the word feeling, because actually what I was hoping I was doing was being a little more clairvoyant and using more of getting information from my sixth chakra instead of from my second. If I was really feeling you, I'd be using my second chakra a lot more. Because
that's really
the center for feeling. What I do is I really work with subtle energies, the subtle energies of the body. So all the energy, all the knowledge about who you are and what you are is in the subtle energies, the chakras and the auric system. So what I did was took a look. We had a little agreement, you and I, a spirit-to-spirit agreement that allowed me to even work with your energy, because I always ask permission first. You know, I think that's a important level of integrity there to make sure that it's okay to even look at you.
Yes, well, it's good spiritual hygiene, as they say.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, this is the beginning. Is it all right for me to actually work with your energy? And I did work with you yesterday, and you did say that it was all right.
It is all right, and we can even go into that. But so you're saying you don't feel it, you see it when you say,
I feel like if I'm doing my work really properly, I am seeing it and knowing it, and there are so many different levels of intuition, right? I'm not saying that feeling it isn't good. It's just that if you work with a lot of different people and you're feeling all of that energy, it can be really confusing. So I try to stay more in a seeing and knowing place, and even hearing. Like when I'm working with certain people, I can hear what they need. I can hear what the next thing is to do. You know, like maybe
when you hear something. No, I don't really know. When you hear, do you hear a voice? What exactly are you hearing?
I think I'm hearing my own inner knowing, and I'm hearing your spirit, because your spirit always guides the session. I don't have an agenda, right? I don't have an agenda. I'm sort of there to just assist you in the best way that you need. And so what will happen is, on one level, you know, we all have our day-to-day issues, right? You know, am I going to get the job? Is he ever going to call me? Things like that, you know, we're just human beings here. So we have all of those questions, our analytical questions, and then we have a spirit question. Our spirits are trying to communicate to us. Our spirits are really saying, you know, these are the deep essential things that I need so that I feel more balanced in the world, so that I can be happier, so that I can feel healthy and grounded.
You know, so you work on that level. You talk to the spirit first, and I mean, I got the sense in your reading that was your overriding. I mean, I would ask you questions, but it really came back to, well, what I sense was not the answers to the questions, but getting to a place in myself of comfort.
That's right. And when you said the feeling part, I mean, I kind of love that you said that, because I do think that every intuitive has like their specialty, right? Some people's specialty is past lives. Some people's specialty is, you know, medical things. But mine really is, my strength is in the emotional. And so when you said you felt it, I kind of love that, because that is true. I think I work more with people's emotions.
But does that mean second chakra when you say emotion?
It does.
Oh, so
it does. The second chakra. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just getting, because most people feel the second chakra is their sexual chakra. Is that what you're meaning?
But it's both. No, I'm really not. Did it feel sexual to you?
No, it did. I don't mean it was sexual, but I'm just saying that's how most people...
No, I know. But the second chakra...
What do you mean by second chakra? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
It houses the sexual center, but it also houses the emotions.
Oh, I see. So that's the part I didn't realize, because I thought, okay, because most people don't, because I thought the emotional centers were higher.
There's compassion and love and emotional things that you hold in your heart as well, of course.
But I didn't realize the emotions were connected in this. Okay, that's clear. Okay, I understand that.
Yep.
So you do work in that feeling center. That's like really key to your work.
It is. It is, because that information, it's sort of like that's the information that always screams at me the loudest, right? Mm-hmm. And the other things I'm very capable of being able to look at, maybe we're looking at a job interview, you know, and I don't really look at future-based things very much, but I would say, you know, okay, let's look at the energy between you and this new boss. You know, let's look at what that looks like. I can certainly do things like that as well, but, you know, I tend to go more towards that deeper what's really running the show on an emotional level.
Right. So
what
would
do we
you
need
say-
to clear there to make everything else kind of be fluid again?
Yeah, no, I was also getting the sense that you were feeling... me. So you're saying, I mean, I think you said, okay, what am I feeling? You were getting sort of a clearer sense of what I was feeling, because of course all our you know, mental chatter's in the way of really tuning in to what we're feeling sometimes. So you were feeling for me what maybe the chatter was in the way of feeling. Would you
say
that?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah, that's right. And I think that's really, really universal, right? We're busy people. We have lives. We're just trying to get through the day, kind of, you know. Sometimes it really is just like that.
Right. So, I mean, you're doing it for people, but you want people to do it for them. You rather teach them to plant a seed than give them
And I'm not doing it for them. Let me correct you. Oh no.
Okay.
Oh no. I'm sort of just there. In some ways it's as a witness. I mean, what I do is I move energy. So we identify whatever it is, and then we try to dislodge whatever that block of energy is that no longer is an affinity with you, whatever it may be. If it's an old belief, or, you know, it's just some old anger or whatever it could be that's there. So with your assistance, we just clear it.
But let's talk about that. So let's say, you know, I had some old stuff, and how do you actually clear it? I mean, how do you,
So I access, sometimes I access different levels of information. Sometimes it's in your personal Akashic records. Sometimes it's in a more universal energy that comes through. Sometimes it's just bringing in bringing in compassion and self-love. It depends, but it's always your energy. I don't channel. I don't channel other energies. I don't use my energy through you, you know, to, quote, fix anything. I don't do any of that. But what I do is, you know, we kind of look at let's look at the toolbox and say, okay, what's the right wrench for this job? Oh, okay, it's this. It's self-love, or it's compassion, or it's a universal healing energy. And then we bring that in instead. And it is amazing when you start bringing your energy really into present time, how things shift.
Wait, so you feel that person, you're feeling like what's missing here, right? Is that what you say, that something?
Well, I love looking at that question. Like, it's not what's missing so much as I think I like to ask, you know, what is it that you're not seeing that you need to see?
Right.
You know,
and I think you helped me.
You know, because, you know, we all know everything and we're all intuitive. You know, I've just spent a little more time maybe than some people on honing my intuition, but, you know, it's really like, okay, what do you need to see, or what do you need in order to heal whatever this is?
And you then, were saying to me, you know,
your spirit yes. knows. Your spirit always knows what you need.
But my spirit is talking to your spirit then, in a sense, or your
yeah, that's
psyche.
Right.
Yeah.
But, that's exactly so, right. We are in a spirit-to-spirit communication, you and I. And
although I don't know it, and you do, or the client, or you
well,
know.
The client, yeah. I mean, not you and I right now, Alan, but yes, the client and I are.
Right. Now we're in a spirit-to-spirit
communication.
But, and then, and you were saying to me, I need to create more space for myself, which was what, and basically I was saying that, although I wasn't aware of that, but you were picking that up, right?
Right, absolutely. You know, you are the busiest person on the planet. You're very busy.
Not that busy. I think there's people busier than me, for sure. Like, but anyway, I'm busy, but we're all busy, but you were just saying for me to be more effective, it would be good to take some space.
Right, and for you to create and land what you're really trying to create and land, I mean, and I don't want to talk out of school and just talk about you.
Talk. I'm
but
adult,
I'm just
but
saying,
you could talk.
For you to create and land what you're trying to create and land, you need to create more space for yourself.
Right, and that was helpful because I was, you know, I was somehow semi-aware of that. It wasn't complete. I mean, I was like, yeah, well, that just makes sense. So thank you for that. But you also deal with other issues for people. I mean, what I'm interested in, if I said a name to you, you were able to tune into that person. Are you tuning into that person through me, or are you tuning directly into that person? How does that work?
Well, that's a great question. I can't tune into another person directly without their okay. Without their, like, spiritual approval. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
so when I looked at another person, it is through you, and it's with their permission also that I am allowed to look at that. You know, it's very rare that someone will say, nope, not going to communicate with you. No. But it has happened. But it's very,
you ask
rare.
Do you ask their spirit then, if it's okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's all I'm doing. I mean, with all of it, I'm just asking, you know, at a spirit level, may I work with you? May I look at this person? You know, even if I'm looking at it through you. Like, I can do that a lot with parents and their children because the kids are little and they're not going to have an hour-long session with me. But sometimes there are some communication issues with the parents and the child, and I'll be able to look at the child through the parents. And be able to see what the relationship contract is and what may need to change in order for them both to, you know, feel satisfied.
But if someone's like, you also deal like if someone's looking for a job or some connection, you then, you know.
Well, I love doing that stuff. Yeah, I do. I really find doing business stuff that way really fun. And yeah, I mean, sometimes I work with people on how they can, you know, improve their, if they're a manager, how they can improve their communication with their workers, or if there's an issue between coworkers, what they can do to improve communication with each other. You know, often you'll find that it's some kind of projection, you know, a psychological projection, you know. Sometimes you'll just find that it's a past life thing, or sometimes it's just people are merging energy too much, and some people really like boundaries, and other people really like to merge, that's how they can figure it out. And, boy, that creates a lot of issues if you're not the kind of person that likes that, and you're with a client or somebody that doesn't have boundaries, it can really upset you.
So how do you work with that? How do you do? What do you do?
Well, I teach people really how to use their auric field so that they feel like they can create better boundaries, and that can be emotional boundaries or physical boundaries, certainly energetic boundaries. And by creating those boundaries, they find a lot of relief.
How can you talk? Give me a little sample of how I could work with my auric field. Could you just?
Oh, okay, great. I'd love to. All right. So, you know, the auric field. Everyone has one. Every living thing has it. It's the electromagnetic field in your body. So an aura surrounds your body, kind of like an egg, like an eggshell. If you've been, I'd say, programmed with a family, maybe in your family, where like it's an all-for-one, one-for-all kind of thing, then more likely than not, you're going to feel pretty comfortable merging your energy. But if that's not how you were brought up, or if that's not a family system, or if you just really enjoy being in your own space and that's what feels great to you, then by being able to ground your aura, really visualize, and energy follows your thoughts, so it's just visualizing your auric field, like this big, beautiful Glenda the Good Witch bubble around you, and then ground it to the earth. Make sure it's grounded. And fill in the whole thing with your energy alone. Nobody else's, just your energy.
Mm.
And you'll see. It'll feel different. You might feel
it does.
Your body. You might feel a little warmer. You might feel that you can breathe better.
It feels more powerful, actually.
It feels more empowering, yeah.
Yeah, I feel that. So you're not just an intuitive, you're a teacher as well.
Well, I guess I am. You know, I have taught before, but I feel in my sessions, I think I do a lot of teaching. I think that everybody needs these tools. I really believe that, and everyone has the ability to learn them. They're simple. I mean, we just did something that was simple. It took a second, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that... especially for sensitive people and people that suffer from anxiety, you know, grounding, just the idea that you could be connected to the earth and use your auric field to hold your energy in and keep some other energy out, it's amazing, the results of just that. It's so simple and so profound. And so I do like to give, I always give homework to my clients too. It must be, I come from a long line of school teachers. I'm like, you're going to have homework today. Here's what it is. And sometimes it's just practice grounding. Sometimes it's, you know,
Making space for yourself. Yeah. But no, I appreciate that because really I think that's what people are reaching out for when they talk to an intuitive, more guidance in their lives and more sense of self.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think we're, you know, as I said, you know, especially now, that need to get quiet, the need to just quiet the mind, the need to just be able to sit in meditation for a few minutes and just hear your own inner voice. You know, the key to intuition is understanding that it's your inner voice, and then being able to listen to it. And that's the hardest thing, is to just trust that intuitive voice.
And that's all you're doing, really, when you work with other people.
That and moving some energy, yeah.
So you move energy consciously for some... How do you actually move energy for somebody?
Well, energy follows your thought.
Mm-hmm.
And so... you can clear energy, you know, you can clear, it's funny because every person is different. So I would say there are no specific guidelines, but mostly, you know, I clear energy. I use my hands actually to do that. And then I bring in whatever the new present time highest healing energy is.
So even with someone on the phone, if you're working with them, you still use your hands to clear the earth?
I do.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Okay.
Because I can feel the energy also in my hands, and I'm able to clear it that way. So that's part of what I do. That's definitely part of my technique.
Well, that's why things feel different, because you cleared some energy for me today.
Well, that's the biggest thing. I would say that's probably what I do most of the time.
Well, so, thank you for that.
Yeah. You know, but, so I think that although I give information, what may be different in my work than other people is, yes, I can give you lots of information about what's going on, and I can clear the energy and bring in the healing energy.
Right. And I don't know if you're leaving something out or some or not, but can I ask you, are you working with other beings, higher aspects, angelics or whatever? Do you connect in that way with this?
That's a great question. You know, I sometimes engage with a healing guide, my own, and sometimes I'll engage with a client's healing guide also to assist us. But I think I always have a guide around me that I use with other people. Yeah.
Right. So are you, I know you're not a channel, but is that a presence that is a two-way thing? They're talking to you, you're talking to them, the guide?
You know, not so much. And if it is, it's so subtle now, or it's so integrated with me that I wouldn't say it's actually that. Like, I know in some cases, you know, it's more like it's, it sounds funny, but they'll kind of show up sometimes if I need them mm-hmm. to work with a client, but I don't, as a practice, call them in beforehand. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. But it also brings up another question. I don't want to get too personal, but are you on your own path? I mean, I'm sure you are, but like, what's your path for yourself look like, if you want to share? Like, you know, we're all growing, so you're tuned in, you're in touch, but is there more for you, you know?
Now, let me see. How are you asking me that question?
I'm just asking about,
I sure you're, hope there's
I'm
more
not
for
asking
me.
To get too personal. I'm just asking for where's your evolution coming? I mean, do you see intuitives? I mean, or do you get it for yourself? I mean, just
you're asking me. Okay. Oh, well, yeah, I definitely have a little healing group of friends that have, you know, on the physical plane. I mean, you know, healers that I've seen and that I go to. And, you know, once in a while I need to tune up myself. Yeah,
yeah.
Definitely.
No, so you're still working. I'm not saying you have all the answers, but you know we're all working on ourselves. And
absolutely. Oh God, I sure don't have all the answers.
No, I know. But is there something aspiring to, like beyond your intuitive gifts? I mean, you're giving people a great gift, but is there more that you're looking for? Just curious.
Oh, I think always. I mean, I think always I am. I think that. You know, it's funny to say that. I get into a place, I think, with myself and with my work where I feel like you kind of plateau for a while. You know, you do something and you're like, all right, this is the energy and this is the vibration and this is where I'm at and things are just great and it's all working, it's fine. And then you hear those little inner rumblings of like, things need to change. I don't know. I should be doing something. I don't, you know, what is that? And then I usually wind up doing most of my healing for myself. I'll usually just sit in meditation, you know, not nearly enough for myself, but I will. And I usually find things that way. But I occasionally need the great guns. And luckily I have a wonderful network of friends who are healers who can definitely help me. Because I don't think you can be neutral enough to see everything for yourself. There are some things we're just too attached to. And you need somebody else to be able to, you know, be that neutral voice and to be able to clear out some of that debris, you know, all those blocks that I work with clients, I get them too. I'm just a human being on the planet. So it's great to go to somebody else and have them, you know, dust me off a little bit and, you know, feel like I'm back on track.
Right. I think that's great. And thank you for, you know, I mean, we're all in this process. But it also leads me to this other question is that, and it may be out of the realm you work in, but do you get like something beyond the personal for the collective? Do you ever tune into that level? Are you like, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Tell me about that.
Of course. Yeah. Yes. Like,
what are you seeing?
And I like to work at that level, actually. And are you asking me, you know, like
if you're tuning in, you know, are you seeing some shifts in the collect? I mean, tell me what's happening. I mean, if you feel like, you know, if you've gotten something.
I haven't been reading it much lately. I mean, I think my practice is pretty full of people, so I haven't really been spending a lot of time on that bigger, higher vibration. I'll do it for myself. I'll do it if somebody comes in and that's what their spirit says they need to look at, that big picture. I love reading the big picture. I think in terms of consciousness of where we are at the moment, is I think we're all rocking. I think we're all quaking in our boots. Things are changing, and I think it's changing kind of quickly. And I think it's changing on lots of levels.
Like what? Can you be specific? Like what? How do you see it changing? So,
well, I think that I'm really thinking about just what's happening, you know, literally in our day-to-day lives, about people being so isolated and plugged in and tuned into their, you know, whatevers themselves, and really not looking at the big picture and not really looking. I mean, it's scary. It's scary to look out there. It's scary to look at what's happening. The planet's going through a big, big change. I think a lot of our systems are changing. We're in a big transition process, we human beings, and it's happening all over the country. So people don't feel stable. Everyone feels really afraid right now. Mm. And I think that much fear, you know, I'm hoping that fear will transmute into change, right? That people will, you know, not be quite so numb and so self-involved and plugged in and really start saying, okay, you know, we have the power to change.
I'm not actually feeling that much fear right now. I mean, collectively. I mean, I'm just like, I don't know, maybe it's different in California or something. I mean, I think it's an exciting time of transformation and awakening and but there's many, you know, there's millions of people going through many different levels of processing, right?
Absolutely. That's true. Well, I think maybe after the eclipse, maybe people will calm down a little bit.
Well, do you, that's another question I was curious. Do you feel there's influences from celestial objects and eclipses? Is that something that happens,
well,
or is
I
that
think,
something people make up?
I think
up?
All sensitive people do, don't you?
Well, I don't know. I'm not so tuned into, like, things, although it feels weird. It can feel weird to be out in an eclipse. I did feel some strange energy. But what do you feel about
I mean, I'm not an astrologer, so I don't have it from that place. But I just think it does have a subtle, you know, I think the changing of the seasons, too. I think there's just a subtle change, you know.
But is there something with an eclipse energy, though? Is there, like, a certain thing that you feel, not astrologically, just intuitively, with the energies of eclipses?
Yeah, I can't explain it exactly. I do. I feel more like with an eclipse, it feels electric to me. Like it's exciting.
Uh-huh.
You know, like it's exciting. It's different. It's something, you know, ooh, something different's happening. You know, I always feel like there's like a little extra level of excitement going on. And maybe that's just so ancient, you know, that it was always like such an ancient, wow, what happened to the moon, you know? But
yeah.
I feel like that part's exciting.
Yeah, it seems like something does happen when things get eclipsed. Like, I think the ancients were saying doorways would open, you know, portals. Do you get that
portals.
Sense? Do you feel that, too?
Yeah. I think that's probably true. You know, I mean, we have science to help us now. Thank heavens we have science. But I do think that you know, it's a little of life's mystery, right? You know, that's just a little mystery. It's like childbirth. It's still a mystery. You want to put science to everything, but there's also mystery involved. And I think that the eclipses are kind of mysterious.
They are mysterious, and I think, you know, I think we're here in the mystery, and I think what your work is involved with is waking people up to this mysterious realm.
Because we're all very busy in our analytical brains. So, and that's a good thing too, but the subtle energies, the intuitive energies, really do, if we wake up a little bit more, everyone, wake up out there, you know, I think it just makes you a lot more balanced and a lot happier.
No, that's what I see. I see a planet waking up. I see that every day.
I'm holding that vision with you, Alan. I love that.
No, but I'm seeing the reality. That's why I'm not seeing that much fear. I'm seeing more like, wow, this is a incredible experience, or this is happening. So I'm hearing stories and meeting people where that's working.
Yeah. And so, you have this beautiful radio show that helps you to meet those people that are continuing to hold that light.
Right, and also a television show, and I'm also doing events, so I'm out there looking for people on the edge, like yourself, who are living in two worlds, because you're living in the world of the unseen as well.
Right, and sometimes it's really funny to live there, because, you know, you think, God, I'm a little isolated out here in the big universe, right? I spend many, many hours in meditation. And that's how I do the work. I'm in meditation when I'm seeing. And, you know, then you're like, oh, and now I need to make dinner, or it would be so nice to go outside and watch people walk in the street. So sometimes it's a funny thing.
But that's what I'm sort of getting at. Is there, like, more a closeness in that? Or, I mean, at least the sense I get that there is, as those worlds are getting closer, maybe 100... Yeah, how do you see that happening? I mean,
well, I think meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think meditation really helps you get quiet and really brings you into yourself, you know? And it also helps you feel interconnected to the universe and everything and everyone else as well. I mean, it does both. But I think it's significant in terms of calibrating the body and the spirit.
Right, but I think also planetarily people are opening more to people like you, intuitive psychics, you know, healers.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I started this work, I think it's almost 25 years ago, and, you know, I guess it was super cutting edge then, and people thought I was, you know, what was I doing, and what did that mean? And now I live in San Francisco, you know, every other person is an intuitive, every other person is a healer. You know, it's amazing.
So that's like, wow, our whole culture is undergoing a huge shift. And where do you think that will lead when this is really out in the open and accepted by everyone? How will our whole world be different if you can tune into that somehow? You know, I'm just curious about that.
You know, I want to be clear. I'm like, well, I know what my vision is of what that would look like, but I'm trying to be neutral and
no,
say,
no,
what
give
do
me
I
your
really
vision. No, no, give me your vision first.
Well, the thing that comes to my mind first is just the generosity of spirit. That I think there'll be a kindness, a level of kindness that, you know, isn't always present.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's great. I mean, I think that's what we're working for, towards, you know, that's what this is all about. At least that's what I see, that collective awakening towards that.
Yeah.
Towards that. And then, but also you said you go into a trance in order to do your work. You go into like, how do you do that? How do you get into a state?
I do. Well, what I do, you know, the work that I do is really grounded in the body. So usually when you say trance, you usually think of these like out of body, big, wild, incredibly cool experiences. But mine's kind of subtle. And, you know, what I do basically is I ground myself, which is just really connecting myself to the earth by opening my feet and grounding, dropping like a plumb line down from the base of my spine and breathing a little, getting nice and quiet. And then I pretty much calibrate each one of my chakras, and I open or close them depending on what I need. So the lower chakras I usually close down quite a bit so that things are quiet and still. Mm-hmm. And then the upper chakras I usually open up so that I can, you know, see better.
Mm.
And in that state, that's the way that I'm most neutral, most effective, and most able to work with either myself or a client's energy. Because
right.
That's how I can see best.
So you're not like the Long Island psychic that you go up to people in supermarkets and say, you know, this is happening for you, or that's...
No,
you know.
I am so not the Long Island... I am from Long Island, I'll admit that, but I am not that person. In fact, I don't want to know what somebody ate for breakfast. I don't want to know if they're fighting with their partner. I don't want to know. So for me, I really regulate it that way. Because I've been a sensitive person, using, and for any sensitive people out there that are hearing this, grounding and using your auric field and maybe turning down your telepathic channels really mm-hmm. helps, because I don't want to be that person. I guess I'm more private, and I respect people's privacy. I don't want to know, unless if they're asking me specifically. I don't want to tell anybody. I don't want to know. I really don't. So I don't. It's like that's why I am working in two worlds. So my intuition is always on. Of course mm-hmm. it is. But I'm able to, like, put a little blanket over it, I guess, so that I'm not walking around all the time knowing what is happening with everyone, you know?
But do you see a world where that is happening? Is that what we're evolving to, where there are no secrets, where everyone's just broadcasting their energies out? Is that the future? Which I think is okay, because what do we have to hide? I mean, I'm not saying it's happening now, but do you think that's possible in a bigger world where everyone is intuitive and psychic, that we just are broadcasting ourselves?
Well, I think everybody broadcasts now. I mean, I think that's happening for sure. I think that's happening now anyway, but I think it's the receptivity to it. And I think it's I don't think anyone's demanding it. Do you know what I mean? But I think, you know, we are all sensitive beings. We're all broadcasting our hopes and our dreams and our needs and our wishes, you know, with each other and out in a more universal way.
Yeah, no, that's true, and I think it's increasing. I think we're all becoming more psychic and more aware, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I sure hope so, because I think that can help us.
No, it is, and people like you are really helping us, because they feel how much compassion you have, and how much you're really, really, you're there to help. You have made your life committed to help people in the best way you know how, which is tuning into their spirit and what they need. And I think that's part of our evolution. So I'm happy to know you.
Thank you. I'm happy to know you.
Thanks. So when you sit down with someone or they're on the phone, you get clear, you clear your lower chakras, and then you just and then they say their name to you, and then what's happening?
Then it gets really fun for me. So you have to know that I love my work, because
yes.
I am never bored, and I'm one of the few lucky people probably in the world who, like, I love to go to work. Because what I get to do is really, it's kind of like watching movies in a way. And I can do this on the phone, and I do it on Skype, and it's great. I have clients everywhere now. Thanks to Skype, I really do have clients all over the world. It's really fun.
Oh, we could have done a Skype, actually. Next time we'll Skype, okay?
Oh, that would be great, yeah. Although I keep my eyes closed when I'm working, so it's not that fun for me, but at least you could see me with my eyes closed. But what I do is, right, you sign in with your name, and then what happens, it's kind of like I just ask you at a spirit level, what's the best use of our time? What is it that we're working on today? And then you show me.
You get a picture, you're saying?
Yeah, like I get a picture, like either a certain chakra will light up, literally, like it'll say, oh, we're going to look at... you know, the third chakra today, or we're going to look at your heart, or maybe we're looking at relationship issues, or we're looking at some self-esteem issues, or we're looking at why you had a fight with your brother and you'll never speak to him again. You know, whatever it is, the story sort of unfolds. So
right.
I take a look at that, and it's like doing, I call it the spiritual diagnostic. I get under the hood, I have my toolbox, let's see what I can do. And I can only read, and I can only give you information about what you're willing to show me.
It's not conscious at all.
Some people walk in and they'll say, oh, I'm totally ready. I just show me whatever you show me. And in fact, they're saying that, but they're not really ready to do the work. And so I can't tell them that much. I can tell them what they're ready to hear. And I never want to put anybody into, like, overwhelm. So I'm careful about how much I can say or how much I can see, because I want to always make sure that it's calibrated with them physically and spiritually and mentally and emotionally.
Right.
So
I think you were being...
Sometimes I can see more, and until that person is really ready, I won't be able to say everything until, you know, especially if it's a deep core issue. You know, I work with people, sometimes I'll work with them frequently, like once a week for a couple of months. Sometimes I'll work with them once for like 5 weeks and then never see them for 10 years. Sometimes I'll work with people once and then I'll see them again in, you know, whenever, 7 years from now. I don't ever ask anybody to make a commitment to work with me. But if you're working on core issues that are deep and real, it always takes more than one session.
Right. I think you were being a little careful with me. I think there were things maybe. I don't know. That was a sense.
about you later. That
we'll talk
way.
About me.
I don't feel... I have a very strong ethic around not talking about people and their experience. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
No, I get that. No, but I think you're really good, and I think people... But then, so when you're... If someone's asking me, or like, okay, this person, this job that I want, and I give you a name, I think I asked this before, but I wasn't sure. So you tune into... You ask their spirit for permission to tune into them as it relates to me, because we're
That's
just...
Right.
Are you getting them directly? That's what I wasn't clear about. Are you getting...
Yeah, I am. Yes, I
okay.
am. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But that's...
You know, it's just that I'm not... again, I think that's based on integrity, too. It's like, if I'm not working with that person... Let's say I was working with a couple, mm-hmm. and I'm... You know, there's some marriage issues here or some such, and... You know, you have to look at the other person because,
right.
you know, it's otherwise it's a one-sided street, and we know contracts are never one-sided. So sometimes I'm looking at an agreement or a contract in the relationship, and I will look at that person's partner, and I won't look at their whole story, but I will be able to look at whatever that is in relation to the other person. So it's the same thing as what you said about business. Like, we may look at someone that you're going to do business with, and I'm not going to look at, you know, their relationship and their history and who they are as a spirit very much, but I am going to look at, do they like you? Do they want to hire you? Are there any communication issues? Is there anything blocking between the two of you? Is this really a great place for you to be working? Do you know what I mean?
Well, No, I do know what it means. And like I asked you about some people and you said, wow, that person really likes you. I mean, their spirit is telling you that they like me. I mean, that's just so amazing that
yeah.
you get that. How does
yeah,
that actually work?
It is amazing. It you know, I mean, I have to say the work, it's funny. I mean, this work is profound. And I know because I have done this, you know, I studied this myself. I've been a client myself. I know that for myself, you know, just for myself, it's been really pretty life-changing.
It is.
Guidance.
So you're amazed at the fact that this can that you can actually. I mean, it's pretty. I mean, it's not like oh, just another day at the office because you said you're really excited, but you're still amazed that, in a sense, that this is possible. Would you say?
Yeah, totally. I know that sounds so funny, but it's true. You know, like you don't. I don't know. I didn't grow up thinking, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to be an intuitive when I grow up, mm-hmm. and I'm going to help people." Like I had no idea. That's what I was going to do when I grew up. I'm still growing. But I had no idea that was it.
Now, do you like, I know you said you rather prefer intuitive to psychic. You think psychic has gotten like a little distorted because there's like these psychic, you know, tarot readers. It's gotten a little weird, the term psychic. It's a little old.
Yeah, psychic really, I don't know. I feel
it's true,
for myself
it's old.
That it has had a lot of negative connotations over the years. And when I think psychic myself, I always think future.
Right.
And I don't do future. I mean, I can do maybe like a few days ahead, but that's not the basis of my work. My work is really about healing and really bringing your energy and using your healing energy to heal yourself. So psychic maybe applies in that, yes, I guess I could own that, but I see it as kind of limiting and negative.
Right. No, I think that's a good distinction because that you're not working with the future and what's coming to you. And I mean, a little bit, but, you know, you're working with the person as they are and how they could show up as more of themselves. And that's
absolutely.
Really, that's
absolutely.
Really.
And that is the most exciting thing. When you see somebody really transform and grow, it's amazing. You know, when you bring in more of your spirit, when you bring more of who you really are, that authentic self, and when that authentic self is, when you're in the presence of that with someone, it's astoundingly beautiful. It's amazing.
It is. That's how we should live, right? That's how we
can. Yeah, it would be a really better world.
Yes.
I have no doubt about that.
No, one more thing I wanted to ask you about, because you did bring it up a little bit a while ago, is that the idea of contracts is that we have these unconscious agreements with our let's say our relatives or our partners that then keep us locked into patterns, and we don't even know we've made those agreements. And I think you see that, and I think you can help people get out of those old contracts, right? Is there something
that? Yes. Oh,
so talk about contracts and tell them what they are.
Okay, so I think, you know, contracts usually need updating. Let's just start there.
Start with the defining of contracts. How do you see that?
I think it's a spiritual agreement. You know, it's a spiritual agreement, and there are spiritual agreements to why you were incarnated, why you chose this body, why you chose this partner, why you chose your parents. We make agreements all the time, unconscious agreements all the time. And so, you know, they can be really profound, I think. And they need to be brought into present time.
Well, we don't even know about those contracts.
A lot of us made these agreements that we made when we were children, unconsciously, but here they are, and now we're adults. And they're not working, but they still may be running the show.
Exactly. So how do we even know that we have those contracts? How do we even know, like, you know, I made this commitment to this person that I would always be there for them, and now I don't feel like being there for them, but I feel like, oh, I have to be. So how do we update that? How do we deal with those old issues?
I'm going to laugh. I'm going to be like, well, you're going to come see me. And then, no, I'm teasing. Because it's so subtle. So I guess you're asking me really, how do we find our awareness that we're making these unconscious contracts?
And
I think
change that.
That we've made these contracts, you know, with pretty much, if you're in a relationship with anyone, including your animals, you've made some kind of an agreement with them. You know, and that's not a bad thing. It may be just my agreement is to love you. You know, my agreement is to, be caring. Or my agreement is, you know, whatever, you know, often it will be something that is going to further your own growth, right?
Well, until it doesn't.
Challenging relationships, you know, the ones that really, you know, the ones that really just irk you, those challenging relationships, you know, there's still probably a piece of that agreement that needs to be updated so that you can smooth out the relationship or improve the communication, you know. But maybe it's based off of something that's really old and really fundamental and really incredibly unconscious.
So bringing things
to your conscious awareness, again, I think meditation helps bring you into a state of conscious awareness. And, of course, I think therapy helps you define contracts and agreements as well. You know, and I think when you want to do it yourself, I think you can just get really quiet, choose one relationship so that you're not totally in overwhelm. You know, it can be anything. It could be anyone. It could be anything. Choose one, you know, and just ask to see. Very quietly, just ask yourself, you know, what is the contract between me and this person?
Right.
What do I need to do to improve? You know, more times than not, it's about improving communication.
Right.
Right? It's about, you know, maybe it's about being seen or being heard. Or maybe it's about, you know, just improving communication. Like, why, when I'm ever with this personality type, do I lose my power? You know, do I lose my ability to have good boundaries? I mean, it's about looking at that contract. I don't know if I've answered your how do you get to look at contract.
No, you do. You did, because
I would say it's being in meditation, being quiet, bringing an image of that person to your mind, and really speaking to them, and saying, like having a conversation with them at a spirit level is sort of like, you know, writing somebody a letter that you never send, you know, and it's really saying, you know, okay, I'm having an issue with the way we communicate, or, you know, I'm really tired of feeling like, me feeling like I'm never good enough when I'm around you, and then be quiet for a minute and see if that person, thank them for showing up and just see if that person has anything to say to you. And
right.
It may come to you as a color or a symbol or a sound or, you know, because intuition is, it comes in so many different ways. It comes in feeling and sound and sight. And it comes in every which way, you know, in your own knowing, you know, maybe it's just a knowing that it doesn't mean you're stuck with that pattern forever. It means you can change it.
No, that's all real. That's helpful. Just the tuning in and helping yourself become aware of why am I stuck in this pattern with this person? Let's see if there's something we could update. But I also think contracts can be things, agreements we've made in other lives that keep us locked in.
Absolutely. That's true, very true. And by ending that agreement from the past and bringing the energy forward into the present, that can free you up a lot.
But how do we end? How do we, do we have to become aware of the lifetime? I mean, how do you end that? How do you rip up a contract? Do you just say it's finished? I guess awareness is doing is what you're saying to me.
Well, there's a lot of, well, actually, yes, that's one. But, you know, again, it's, I think in a way, you're looking at, how do I want to explain it? You're looking at the energy of the agreement, and you're calling your energy back to you, and you're dissolving the energy between the two of you, and you're asking to change the agreement. And that person may or may not agree to do that, but you can always change your side of it. And as we know, if you change yourself, pretty profound things can happen with that other person.
Right. You know? No, that makes sense. Thank you. So it's
so
like
you always have the power to change and update yourself, even if the other person isn't ready to do so. And by changing yourself, things will change.
Right. No, thank you for helping. But where does karma and past lives fit into the whole realm of the human experience? Can we walk away from the karma? Can we override the patterns of past life? I mean, how do you see that?
I don't think you can walk away from the karma, but I think you can complete the karma.
How?
Well, let's see.
I do something.
Right words, because to me, when I'm doing that, Alan, I guess I am being guided in how to do it. It's not like I'm trying to hold out on you and not.
No, I know you're finding the right words.
I'm just trying to find the right language.
No, because I know you're an intuitive, and you just kind of don't put it into words. You just kind of do what you do, and so I'm asking you to put it express.
This can be taught. This can be learned. Absolutely. I mean, everyone can do this. I'm just trying to find the right words. I'm sorry, I wasn't prepared for that. And it's a great question and a profound one, and I want to treat it with respect. And I feel like it's got a lot of power in it. And I feel like we could probably talk about this for hours, but it's not a five-minute conversation. But clearing contracts, you know, who wrote that book? Carolyn Mace, right?
She wrote
a book about ending spiritual contracts.
Wow.
And that may be a good resource.
But I guess I'm asking about karma and lifetimes, because do you get that information? Is that like something, oh, this person was in your readings, in your, you know, counseling?
Yeah, I can do that. Yes, I can do that. I can access that level of information.
If you think it's helpful, right?
If that's really what the spiritual issue is, then we go into that past life. We define what it is. We bring in the missing energy to complete the karma, and we complete the karma, and we file that in the personal Akashic records, and we move on. So that's sort of how that works.
Right. No, I get that. And so sometimes you see lifetimes only if they're of importance and impinging on what this person's ideas are.
Yeah, I only read, you know, like some people just are great at it. I have a friend who's amazing at past life readings. But for me, I only read past life information as it connects to what's happening in the present.
Mm. So your whole work from this conversation and, of course, your session is to bring people back to themselves and what they need and their issues and and how they can evolve in their own sense of themselves forward, would you say?
Yes, from present time and to move forward, yeah.
Well, that is a beautiful thing, and so you're part counselor as well. I mean, you're not just an intuitive, you're also doing a little psychology with that person, right?
Well, not really, and I'm not licensed as that either.
So we know you're not.
I'm not a counselor. I mean, I could be an intuitive counselor, I guess, but there's no licensing that I know about for that currently. Yeah, I mean, I think the work, I mean, I think I had a client who once said that seeing me was like 5 years of therapy rolled into an hour, that I was able to kind of identify and clear and move energy in a way, and I think this work does work really great with traditional other forms of therapy, you know, was able to define things and move things quickly. It moves very quickly because we're dealing with energy. And every emotion and everything is made up of energy. So clearing energy makes things move quicker.
Right. No, but yeah, no, I know. And and of course the psychology of the person is affected because, like, boom, they have to deal with whatever. You know, people are stuck or not moving energy because of some state they're in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not saying you're a psychologist,
really,
but yes.
That state may be really old.
That
state may be really out of present time.
Right. And so you have to understand psychology. I'm not saying you're a psychologist, but I'm saying you do understand human beings. I think part of your work is understanding people, but not just on a psychological level. Of course, you take them to a spiritual and soul level. So you're tuning in on beyond.
Yeah,
their
and I would say that it's much more on the spiritual, on the soul level, and not so much on the psychological level.
All right, that's fair. Let me just ask you as we wrap up here. You know, because you said, like you said, you didn't grow when you were growing up saying, "Oh, I want to be a psychic when I," you know.
Yeah, when I grow up.
Yeah. But you did learn this. You did. Or I mean, is it like playing the piano? Anyone can play the piano, but there are some people who are definitely more talented at playing the piano. Is it?
That's a great analogy. So I would say that everyone is intuitive. And practice, 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 right? The more you do it, the better you become. And
And you have a facility for
it. You know, I mean, that's the other thing. It's not like everyone is drawn to being a healer, right? You know, people are drawn to what they're drawn to. To me, it kind of landed in my lap. I was studying this work. I've always been interested in it and kind of fascinated with, you know, the unseen, and certainly fascinated with emotions and deep emotions. And so when I kind of stumbled on this work, I think it was not for me to go and to become a healer when I grew up. It was really for my own healing, right? I went just as a curious spirit. I was like, huh, I'm going to go to the Academy of Intuition Medicine, which is in Sausalito, and I'm going to learn about intuitive healing. I'm going to learn about this.
And I did,
and I loved it. And in one night in a meditation, it was really clear to me that this was my work, that this was actually, I was there, you know, this was like grad school. I was in spiritual grad school. I'm like, oh, this is my work. And hung up my shingle.
No, but I really get that. It's because you care about people, not that necessarily you're psychic or intuitive. But you're doing because you care. That's the key.
Well, yeah, I do. It's the truth.
Yeah. So, and that's, I think, what assists so many people that you work with, the fact that you're opening up a space where they feel cared about and taken care of and connected, and you letting them feel that. And that's, you know, something beyond being intuitive. That's something that you add to it. So thank you.
That's beautiful. Thank you. I'm just trying to take that in, Ellen. That's beautiful.
Take it in, because it's true.
In my best days, I hope that's really what I'm doing. Yeah.
No, it is what you're doing. I think that's why you're doing it. Yeah, you have a gift. You can tune into energies and feel things, but and that's what makes you different than, let's say, the psychic on the street or whatever, you know.
Well, you know, I beware of those psychics on the street. They scare me.
No,
and
they are scary.
They and then people come to me after they've seen them and they're just messed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
they get scared, you know.
Well, that's because that's what I'm saying is different about you, is that you care about people and you're able to feel them and tune into what they need to help them care about themselves more. That's what I get about you. So
I'm like, thank you, Ellen. I think that was great. I don't know if I've ever been able to put that into words. Where were you 25 years ago when I started?
I'm right here. You were all just starting all the time. So there you go.
Exactly. What do you do? And I'm always tongue-tied. I'm always like, well, I don't know. I read energy. It just keeps me stunned. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I look forward to seeing you in New York. And how can people find you?
People can find me through the website, which is randymerzon.com. And I spell my name with an I, R-A-N-D-I. MERZON, Z like zebra, O-N like Nancy. So it's randymerzon.com.
Uh-huh. And they can call you for an appointment. You do phone and Skype.
Yes, it's all there. You can find me through that website, and I'll be happy to connect with you.
Right. And anything you would like to leave us with, any words of intuition?
My words of intuition are... take time for yourself. Get quiet every day. Just for even for 2 minutes while you're brushing your teeth, you can visualize being grounded. And just by visualizing. Energy will follow your thought. It doesn't have to be, I'm spending hours in deep meditation. Take 5 minutes when you're brushing your teeth and just reaffirm that you're grounded and reaffirm that your auric field is around you and you're protected. And it will really make a difference in your day.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. I know that people are actually preparing for the holidays, the Jewish holidays, Yom Kippur, and I think that's a time, I mean, today, that they're getting quiet. I mean, if you follow that, or even if you don't, I can feel like New York City here just kind of getting into this kind of other state of tuning in and taking that time, because I think that's what prayer is about.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you feel that collectively about today?
Oh, I think prayer, is that what you're saying?
No, about the holidays, the Jewish holidays, and like, do you feel like there's a energy that happens collectively about on like days like that?
Well, like that. I do, and I also think that your genetic tapes, you know, no matter what religion you are and whatever holiday that is, the ancestral tapes, you know, start talking.
Oh, that's what's happening. Thank you for that.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, yes, I'm sure it's chatting over there in New York right this minute.
Yeah, no, right.
My ancestral tapes are chatting, and I'm in San Francisco. But,
well,
yeah.
We're probably related, our ancestral tapes.
There you go.
thank you, Randy. Thanks for...
You're so welcome. Thank you so much, Alan.
And I'll talk to you in the next couple of days anyway. I'll just check in with you, okay?
Great, thanks.
Okay, I'm talking to Randy Mirzon. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com. Thanks for tuning in. Good night.